اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أفتتح الثناء بحمدك وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك، وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي وأقل يا غفور عثرتي، فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها وهموم قد كشفتها وعثرة قد أقلتها ورحمة قد نشرتها وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده، الظاهر بالكرم مجده، الباسط بالجود يداه الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما وغناك عنه قديم وهو عندي كثير وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي. أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا لا خائفا ولا وجلا مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك. فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور. فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي. يا رب إنك تدعوني فأولني عنك وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك كأن لي التطول عليك. فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك. فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجد عليه بفضل إحسانك إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فالق الإصباح ديان الدين رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرام وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله ولا شبيه يشاكله ولا ظهير يعاضده قهر بعزته الأعزاء وتواضع لعظمته العظماء فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويسر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصي، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازي. فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني، وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني، وبهجة مونقة قد أراني. فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا، الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله، الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين، والحمد لله قاسم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين، الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله، الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك. اللهم وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم، وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة، وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي، حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة. اللهم صل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر، وحفه بملائكتك المقربين، وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك، استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله، مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له، أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا، يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به، وانصره وانتصر به، وانصره نصرا عزيزا، وافتح له فتحا يسيرا، واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك، حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله، وتذل بها النفاق وأهله، وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك، والقادة إلى سبيلك، وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا، وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المن به شعثنا، واشعب به صدعنا، وارتوق به فتقنا، وكثر به قلتنا، وأعزز به ذلتنا، وأغن به عائلنا، واقض به عن مغرمنا، واجبر به فقرنا، وسد به خلتنا، ويسر به عسرنا، وبيض به وجوهنا، وفك به أسرنا، وأنجح به طلبتنا، وأنجز به مواعيدنا، واستجب به دعوتنا، وأعطنا به سؤلنا، وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا، وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطيين. اشف به صدورنا، وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا، واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك، إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا، إله الحق آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله، وغيبة ولينا، وكثرة عدونا، وقلة عددنا، وشدة الفتن بنا، وتظاهر الزمان علينا. فصل على محمد وآله، وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجله، وبضر تكشفه، ونصر تعزه، وسلطان حق تظهره، ورحمة منك تجللنا، وعافية منك تلبسنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنام سيد الخلق أجمعين، حبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقيت الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite a salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. One of the du'as that we are told to repeat, as far as I know, it's the only du'a. I don't know of any other du'a that we're told to repeat on Laylatul Qadr, is Allahumma kulli waliyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan. Tonight is the night of the 23rd, and it is, in a sense, Laylatul Qadr, in a sense, the most important Laylatul Qadr. Apparently, as some of the ulama have mentioned, there's a gradual process. Their explanation is based on the ahadith that we have. There's a gradual process of Laylatul Qadr occurring from the perspective of the taqdeer, as the night is called Laylatul Qadr, and also as Surah Al-Qadr says, تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. All of the affairs of the following year are brought down and they are finalized. The process of all of that happening takes 3 nights, and the final night is the night of the 23rd. That's what is meant by it being the main, most important night. And it seems like the part that has to do with the revelation of the Qur'an was in one night, and that is what is called Laylatul Qadr. The final night is one. Layla means one night. Okay, the or night of Qadr, which is fate or destiny. More than one night would not be referred to as Layla, so it can't be 3 nights. The night that the Qur'an was revealed is one night, and it seems like, based on all the riwayat that we have, it's the night of the 23rd. Since this seems to be the most important, in a sense, and the Laylatul Qadr, and the dua that we are told to repeat on this night is Allahumma kulli waliyyik, I think it is appropriate for us to discuss the 12th Imam Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif on this night. Not only because of that dua, but also because the central figure of Laylatul Qadr on earth is the 12th Imam Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. As the Prophet told his companions, he asked them the question, you've read this verse, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرِ. The angels تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ is a verb. Okay, when something has occurred once, you use a past tense verb to suggest that it has happened. And that's why it says, إِنَّا أَنْزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. We revealed the book. That's a past tense verb, and it suggests that the Qur'an was revealed, it's past tense, on Laylatul Qadr. At some point in the life of the Prophet, the whole and the entirety of the Qur'an was revealed upon the heart of the Prophet. That process is referred to as a past tense verb, which refers to the past. When it comes to the part that has to do with the Amr, or the destiny for the next year, to be brought down by the angels, The verb that is used is not past tense. تنزل الملائكة. They come down. It's a present tense and a future tense. In Arabic, they call it مضارع. And it refers to present and future. In other words, the process of the angels descending from the heavens to bring down the fate of the world for the following year is not a one-time thing. It's a recurring concept. It happens every year. So the Prophet told his companions, have you read this verse? He said, yes. He said, well, while I'm alive, who do these angels come down to? They said, well, Ya Rasulullah, obviously to yourself. So, well, after me, what happens? They said, Ya Rasulullah, you know better. We don't know. He said, upon Ali. After Ali, he named the imams, one after the other. So the central figure of Laylatul Qadr in terms of the destiny for the world for the following year is the wali of the time, the imam of the time, and currently it's the imam of our time, Imam Al-Hujja Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Well, that's another reason why the 12th imam is a very central figure with regards to Laylatul Qadr, and it's important for us to discuss our imam. There's a few points, a couple very brief reminders in terms of our relationship with the imam, and then maybe something that is a little more time consuming, hopefully not too much, not too long, and I hope that it's meaningful in regards to our ma'rifah of the 12th imam. The first thing, reminders, is that we need to remember the 12th imam personally. I mean, we have speeches, we sit down, somebody mentions, we have dua, that's all fine, it's all good, we all need to do that. But each of us personally needs to have a connection with the 12th imam. That's a personal thing. It may happen in the context of a majlis, perhaps, in the context of dua, nutba. We had some ulama, may Allah protect him, inshallah he's still alive. And he's doing well, alhamdulillah. Joy Tehrani used to be in Queens, New York. He used to live there for a few years. And I still remember when we were in Maryland, when he did come down for like Dua Arafah or Dua Nudba, it was amazing. It was a very amazing experience. And when we went to Qom, he eventually moved back to Qom, and then we used to have it there. And he would try to get into the mood himself and not worry about who's there. Just do his dua and make his connection. And he would create an environment where anyone who's doing that, they're there. But each individually would try to make that connection with the 12th imam. It may happen in that context. It may happen in a different context while you're alone. But we need to make that happen. We can't wait for somebody to create an environment for us. Our 12th Imam, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, is a living Imam, is our Imam, he is our leader, he is accessible to us despite us not being able to see him or identify what he looks like. Perhaps we have even seen him without knowing it, but he is accessible, meaning he hears. He is our Imam. I say this in this tone for myself. A lot of times I realize that I don't really quite get it. And every time I say he is my imam, it makes a little more sense that, you know, we're not talking about, I use this example again to make myself realize there's a difference. We say Amir al-Mu'mineen is our imam. And he hears us as well. Yes, Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamu alayhi hears us. The Lady Fatima al-Zahra hears us. The Prophet hears us. Imam al-Mujtaba hears us. Imam al-Husayn hears us. All that's true. Imam al-Sadiq hears us. Imam al-Kadhim hears us. Imam al-Ridha hears us. When you go to Samarra, you visit Imam al-Askari, Imam al-Hadi, they hear you. You're speaking to them. You don't have to even go there. You can speak to them from here. All that's fine. And all that's true. And that's something to work on in our minds as well. However, when we think of Imam al-Husayn, when we think of Imam Ali, when we think of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, when we think of Imam al-Askari, they were our imams. Currently, our imam is the 12th imam. He is that person. All the stories we hear and talk about how the people were with the Imam of their time, at the time of Imam Ali, at the time of Imam al-Mujtaba, at the time of Imam al-Hussein, all of that is true about us. We are under a living Imam, not an Imam that will come. That's when he will be seen. He is already our Imam. He's not someone that will be our Imam in the future. He is our Imam. He's been our Imam. He has been leading us. This requires a little bit. We need to remind ourselves of that a little every now and then. And realize, okay, well, during the time of, let's say, Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhi, 2 years he was in Kufa, the rest of it he was in Medina. Now if you were a Shia at the time of Imam al-Sadiq, you wouldn't visit Imam al-Sadiq? You wouldn't want to go and talk to him, ask him questions? For the 12th Imam, we don't have that form of access for reasons that are good for all of us. But the Imam is available. The sad thing actually is, let me say this as well, this is, we say the Imam is not accessible. The fact is, Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi has said, during the time of the major occultation, khassatu awliya'ih will have contact with the Imam. This is sad that I am not one of them. That's something I should cry my eyes out. For why? I am not one of those that has that personal contact where they actually see the Imam. They know the Imam. They know what he looks like. They're in constant and direct contact with the Imam. That's even possible. That's not something that's far-fetched in the sense of, you know, it being impossible. It's there. Some people have it. There have been people that have not been that, have had that form of connection with the 12th Imam, but they still have had repeated communications with the 12th Imam. These are not fairy tales. Sayyid Bahrul Ulum, may Allah bless his soul, in Najaf, is one figure that everybody knows. He knew when the Imam would come. There's a funny part to the story as well. He was into shisha or gila or whatever you call it, hookah or whatever, these different. He was into that. They used to smoke it. Of course, this new stuff is very different. What they smoked, if it's put here, I think most of us would run away from it. Doesn't smell as pleasant, or I don't know. I'm sort of allergic to that. Personally, it's not a religiously. The Maraja have given the general fatwas. It's up to people to see what they understand. Is it harmful? Is it not? That's besides the point, though. He used to smoke the shisha and. But he knew that the 12th Imam didn't like it. And he knew when the 12th Imam is coming. And sometimes he would be involved and then he knew it's coming. He's like, oh, get this out of here. Get this out of here. The 12th Imam is coming. You don't want to have this here. They had this type of relationship with the Imam. In other words, the Imam repeatedly visited him. And there's others. There's others, it's not just that one person. These are various individuals. I don't know, sometimes I catch myself, I think, doubting whether these are true or not. I'm like, well, I have never experienced that. Is that even true? Is that even possible? Can I actually get that? Can I have that experience? The reason why I haven't had it is not because it's not possible. It's because that I'm not doing what it takes. But it is possible. Whether he visits me or not, the first point, these were all to get us a little more hyped up. We need to be hyped up every now and then and be reminded that we should have such a strong desire to see the Imam. The Imam himself has given us wording to teach us to have that. Read Dua Nudba, try to pick up the Arabic meanings And then read the lines one after the other with an understanding. When you keep repeating, أَيْنَ بَقِيَّةُ اللَّهِ أَيْنَ, where is he, where is he, where is he? Doesn't that create that want? Aren't you asking as a person who wants to see him and doesn't find him and is asking God, where is he? And then you change the language, meaning the imam has changed. This is a dua we've been taught by the imam himself. بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي. May my father and mother, we address him now. We consider ourselves speaking to him directly, not as third person, it's second person, you're addressing him. بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي. May my mother and father be sacrificed for you. أَيْنَ اسْتَقَرَّتْ بِكَ النَّوَى. بَلْ أَيُّ أَرْضٍ تُقِلُّكَ أَوْثَرَى. أَبِرَضْوَى أَمْ غَيْرِهَا أَمْ ذِي طُوَى. Where are you? What land bears you? Are you in Radwa? Are you in ذِي طُوَى? Are you somewhere else? Where are you? Repeating these on a weekly basis, as we're told in Dua Nudba, this is to create that strong desire to see the 12th Imam. We need to hear this and we need to develop that. That's one thing that I think we need reminders, and we hope that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this Laylatul Qadr. We don't know the fate of next year. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is finalizing it on this night. And we don't know what he has for us, but we ask and beg that one of them be seeing the 12th Imam, inshallah. If it's not the year that he is to be revealing his identity to the whole world and everyone see him and everyone know him, at least we have the privilege of getting a glance at him knowingly, hopefully. Although if we don't even know it's him, to see him, it's still a privilege. But to know it's him is definitely a different privilege. We ask Allah to give us that. That's one reminder. The next reminder is that if we're thinking of our imam in that way, if we see him as someone who is present, as he is, he's not absent. Ghaibah doesn't mean absence. It means while he's present, he's hidden from our eyes. If we realize his presence and we know that he's around, to be a little more careful with what we're doing in his presence. Think of it that way. Ajay Tehrani, they said he used to live in New York. He gave this, he said there was this very pious, I don't know what to call him, really, an architect, or he wasn't really an engineer. He hadn't studied for it. But, you know, the traditional builders, contractors, maybe you would call them, not exactly, it's a different system, you know. People who have the skills and they have workers under them, it's not exactly what a contractor does. It's a little more than that. There's a little bit of design involved there as well. But anyway, so he said there was this pious, let's just call him a contractor, in Qom, that when he said he was trying to build his house in Qom, Ajay Tehrani, and he didn't get him, he wasn't able to get him, but he went and consulted him. He said, I asked him, how should I build my house? This Ajay Tehrani, he's a house student. He's seeking counseling from someone who's not a house student. He's a very, very pious man. He says, I asked him, how should I build my house? He said, his words were this. He says, build it in a way that if the 12th Imam is in town and around, he would want to visit your house. Okay. That's a really nice way of thinking of our Imam and seeing our relationship with him. And it really builds us, you know, if we think of it that way and we think that, oh, if the 12th Imam is in town, I would like him to choose my house over everybody else's to come. What can I do for that? Think. Go figure out. Just, but have that in mind. If we have that in mind, if we want it, if there is a desire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the 12th Imam, will guide us to what we need to do. Keep in a way that the 12th Imam would say, okay, I want to go and spend the night at this person's house. Okay. And know that we can't hide anything. I mean, I gave you that example of that scholar, he was trying to, you know, hide the shisha and whatever, so that the 12th Imam knew, of course. And if it was something that bad, the 12th Imam wouldn't have visited him. Or if it was bad, he just realized, because there was a conversation, he didn't just make that up. The 12th Imam showed that he doesn't really like this. And so he didn't want to for it to be around, since the 12th Imam doesn't like it. Not that it was haram or anything. The 12th Imam just a personal preference. You know how you guys are generally with Maulana Ilya, although he has said that I don't really love Mountain Dew. It's, I mean, this is what he told me personally. It's not really something that I really love so much. I actually prefer, he said, he told me personally, he said, I like Ruh Afza more. But it's just that that's not available when I'm outside of home, and he needs sugar. He's got the opposite of diabetes, whatever it's called. So when you know that, what you're going to do is you always make that available as soon as... I've been to so many homes, like, okay, whenever he's around, there's a Mountain Dew. I'm like, can I get one, please? But don't get me wrong here. No, I'm not a Mountain Dew fan myself. But anyway, when you know he likes it and you like him, you make it available. It's not like it's warm. It's just, you know, he has his personal preference for this, for whatever reason it is. If you know the 12th Imam doesn't like this, well, this is what it was. He didn't want it around. It wasn't haram. He knew he was a mujtahid. Based on his research, and he was supposed to act on his research, it wasn't haram. But the 12th Imam made a comment. He knew the 12th Imam doesn't like this. He was like, okay, keep this away. But regarding things that God doesn't like, and not personal preference things, you know, haram, okay, those are not things that can be hidden from the 12th Imam. We have hadith that the 12th Imam receives a report of what we do. It's worded in that way. And according to some accounts, it's twice a week. The days are even mentioned. I'm not too sure of both days, so I'm not going to mention. But 2 days, twice a week, he receives a report of what all we've done. Okay. If you love the 12th Imam, you want him to accept you. We want him to accept us. Be careful with that. Be careful with that. Inshallah, he helps us. He guides us, inshallah. The last point, we said something a little bit about ma'rifah of the 12th Imam on this night. Hopefully, this will help us in our connection with the 12th Imam. There's a lot of different areas. The Imams are so... elevated, they are so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that word is even not very meaningful to us, that we really can't comprehend who they are, not even half their personalities. There's so much that we just can't get. It's too much for us to process. And that itself is something that needs to be known. Okay, it's important for us to recognize that we're too deficient to put our heads around or get our heads around who they really are. This is not an exaggeration by any means. This is anybody that doesn't understand that and thinks that they're just people is grossly misunderstanding. And this is a very, very big mistake on their part that's going to hurt them. No, the fact is that they are too great for us to really comprehend who they are. This even idea of imam that we hear and we repeat, Ayatollah Khamenei was mentioning very briefly yesterday at the beginning of his talk regarding Imam Ali. He's saying that the aspect of imamah that's spiritual, he was explaining the verse in the Holy Quran that talks about Ibrahim being given the task of imamah. He says it's clear that that's not the normal human level imamah of leadership. Okay, leadership that, okay, he's leading, he's a divine leader. Well, Ibrahim was a divine leader early in his, when he was in his teens, he was a leader. He led the people towards justice, towards Allah, towards Tawheed, away from idol worship. Only a few followed, but he led. His leadership was there. That is material, human level leadership that was there in his teens, before perhaps he was even married. But the imama, inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama, in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, it says, وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ قَالَ إِنِّي جَعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا قَالَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. So when he tested him, which that shows it's later in his life, then God said, I made you an imam. Then Ibrahim says, of my dhurriya, of my children as well, God says, لَا يَنَالُ أَحْدِيَ الظَّالِمِينَ. The ones who are ظَالِمِين, they're not going to receive imamah, this imamah. Allah Khamenei explained, this is clearly when he was older, because as God tells us in the Quran, Ismail and Ishaq were given to Prophet Ibrahim when he was very old. He didn't have children when he was young or middle-aged. He was old when he had both his children. And when he asked, my dhurriya, my children, he must have had the children. That's a clear sign that this is at that age. So that imama is not your ordinary, average human form of leadership. That was already there. Divine, of course. Divine leadership was already there, in the sense of guiding people and telling them, you know, this is right, that's wrong, follow me, and so on and so forth. That was already there. This imama that's given is a spiritual imama that's way above our imagination. This imama is what the imams have, what the imam of our time has. These are areas that we have trouble really comprehending. It is possible, of course. We have to work on it, cleanse our souls to be able to get to that meaning. It's not something that can only be understood conceptually. It requires the cleansing of the soul to be able to comprehend and understand. But besides all of those very lofty aspects, those spiritual aspects that are hard for us to understand even, there are aspects that are very much understandable for us, and that's the path to the higher levels. It's by being obedient to the Imam on the basic things that he has already provided us with that we're going to be able to get past these lower stages and move up to ranks that are closer where we can comprehend. What are some of the basic things, human level leadership, that we have from the Imam? Before focusing on one of them, I've mentioned this before, I think, I believe in our sessions we've mentioned it, and I will continue to mention, and it's important that each of us takes this on board. The 12th Imam himself has taught us the direction that he wants to lead us towards, or he is rather leading us towards. In the few du'as that he has given us, it's already in the Quran, it's already in the words of other imams, but the 12th Imam himself has provided us with that. In Dua al-Iftitah, the du'as that he has taught us, the Dua al-Iftitah is also from the 12th Imam. When we get to the part that we start making du'a for the 12th Imam, Allahumma ja'alhu da'iya ila kitabik. This is telling us the direction that the Imam is leading us towards. All of those du'as. Read that du'a from with that in mind, with that approach, not to just ask God, but to realize if I'm asking this from Allah in regards to the 12th Imam, this is telling me that the 12th Imam is going to be calling towards the Book of Allah. Okay, well, Allahumma ja'alhu da'iya ila kitabillah. So he is the one that's going to call towards the Book of Allah. So what are my responsibilities? Is what? To learn the Book of Allah. Read it. Allow those concepts to start finding more meaning in me and to become part of me. Another line, for instance, there is that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the 12th Imam revive the religion of Allah in the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet, حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق, in a way where he does not have to hide any truth out of fear of any of God's creation. Okay. Well, that has a lot of meaning for us. Now again, I don't want to focus on these specific examples. The first point is, take these du'as, du'a al-iftitah, du'a nudbah, and read them from this perspective. You want to learn the direction that the Imam is leading us towards. Because then you will know that this Imam that you're waiting for, that you want to see him, he has already, during the time of the minor occultation, given you a blueprint of where he's headed, what direction he is heading, he is leading, and how that is going to keep moving forward until the time that he's going to be seen, which will be the final stage of that happening. We are in some of the earlier stages, but we are part of this process of making that happen. When he comes, it will be the final stage of those truths being revealed, and no one will be able to stand against the 12th Imam's guidance on what Islam actually is. He won't hide anything. Everything will be given to the people, and all those who are thirsty for the knowledge will. So we need to read those du'as from that perspective and learn. One teaching that we have specifically out of all these, I want to select one. Recite salawat, please. I want to mention it in a way that is maybe a little more personally related to us. The 12th Imam in Dua Nudba teaches us to ask God, where is the 12th Imam, with some descriptions. Starts with Aina Baqiyatullah, and then it keeps going. One of the lines that we have is, if I remember correctly, the exact wording, Aina qati'u dabir al-mutakabbirin, if I get the wording right. There are arrogant people ruling the world. In fact, rulers that are not divine are all arrogant. They want that position. They feel they are above and beyond. They think they are better. They think others should serve them. They think others should be subordinate to them. Any ruler that's not divine is going to be like that, even if they are within a divine government. In other words, some of the governors of Amir al-Mu'mineen, for instance, they were like that too. They were under the governance of Amir al-Mu'mineen. They were governor appointed by Ali ibn Abi Talib, but that didn't make them divine. Ali ibn Abi Talib is divine. Some of those people had that takabbur in them. This is where it becomes a little more personally related to us. So the discussions about, okay, we need to work against these arrogant rulers of the world, that's all fine. That's a discussion we've discussed many times, and we will continue to discuss that. But the way this is more personally related to us is, what if we are of the mutakabbirin? Those people that were appointed by Ali ibn Abi Talib as the governors during his time were some of the best that were available that could do the job. And there were people that were clearly with Ali ibn Abi Talib, with Amir al-Mu'mineen. They weren't hating him, they weren't working against him or any of that. Yet, they were of these mutakabbirin as well. Well, they got that power, it got to them. Arrogance. Okay. We should know if we have some of these traits that are generally mentioned in that dua. I'm focusing on this one, takabbur. Okay, arrogance. If we have arrogance in us, then we should know the 12th Imam is أَيْنَ قَاطِعُ دَابِرُ الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. He's going to cut the supply line and the support of, and he's going to end basically mutakabbirin. Now, inshallah, hopefully, our level of takabbur isn't such that we will be opposing maybe the 12th Imam, al-ayyadu billah, God forbid we ever become anything like that. But the one who is qati'u dabir al-mutakabbirin is not going to use someone that has takabbur for positions that he wants in his government. If I have takabbur, 12th Imam is not going to pick me. This is not like Amirul Mu'mineen's time. Amirul Mu'mineen's time, conditions were different. He was supposed to, his taklif was to choose amongst those that were there, even though some of them had takabbur in them. Mutakabbir. And whenever they practically, when the Amirul Mu'mineen knew they had it in them, but initially it's not visible, you have to put them there. They take that position. After they took that position, it was revealed, then they were removed from that position. With the 12th Imam is a little different. The time of the 12th Imam is a different time. There will be those purified souls that will not have any. الَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ, as the Quran says. They will not have, they will not want to be in any way above anyone else materially. They don't have any such desire. They see someone else has something, they don't feel like they want to be above them. لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ. None of that. There will be. The 12th Imam will have such people. In other words, over the course of these centuries, the 12th Imam has gradually built foundations. Well, eventually, people will come, he trains them, they become these purified souls. They will not have takabbur. The Imam knows they're going to be the ones that he will select, he will appoint for working under him, close to him. If we haven't gotten rid of that, unfortunately we won't be of them. That's a big problem. Takabbur is a very big problem. Arrogance, various shades of it. It's very important for us to note, see it in ourselves. To have tawadhu, to humble ourselves. Not consider myself to be anything worthy of praise or no expectation of anything. Any type of expectation of glory, of praise, of respect, of any type of treatment shows there's something there. Even if it's extremely minimal. Oh, this guy, he said salam to me in this way. I feel upset about the way the person said salam, or he didn't say salam in this way. There's a shade, there's a layer of kibr there that needs to be removed. It needs to be removed. It's kibr, brothers and sisters, this horrible illness that is so widespread. I'm dealing with it probably more than any of you are. We need to find it in ourselves and get rid of it. The root of so many problems, one of the problems is community problems, right? Community problems. People having beef with each other, people having issues with each other. K kibr, family issues. Spouses have issues with each other. I can't take, she criticizes me or he criticizes me. It's because there's kibr. There's arrogance. If that is removed, everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. Everything will be very pleasant. That's why the leader is under the 12th Imam is beyond our, we can't even speak of him. But the people under him that will lead people towards that, it's hard for us to even imagine that the world that the 12th Imam is going to create. The world is so messed up right now, so messed up, so sickening. Even people who are suffering want to be like those who are oppressing. That's how bad it is. They admire the oppressors. They look up to the oppressors. They look up to the culture of the oppressors. And as soon as they get a little chance or whatever in there, the most remote areas of the world, if somebody can get their hands on something a little Western right now, it's a Western civilization and culture that is dominating the world. They can get their hands on something that for people living in the West will be laughable, but in those standards, it's somewhat more Western compared to everybody else. The guy feels arrogant. They got something that is more whatever, Hollywoody or whatever it is. And it's just a very, very messed up world. The world that the 12th Imam, these are standard things. Like it's considered okay, it's fine. Like for most of the people of the world, like yeah, it's normal. Like these things are normal. The gap between the rich and the poor is just how it's supposed to be. You know, airline tickets, the price gaps between the front and the back, it's just how it's supposed to be. There being places where you need to be at a certain wealth level to be able to experience. And if you're not there, then you're just not going to experience it. It's just like, this is how it's supposed to be. No, it's not how it's supposed to be. Why can't everybody enjoy? Why can't it be available to everybody? Why does it need to be secluded? We can't stand each other. The world that the 12th Imam is going to create is going to be very different. But the people who are going to lead it have got to have gotten rid of all those internal nafsani issues. One of the biggest ones being kibr. And with that removed, then yeah, they can lead the world for everybody to start. When those levels, when kibr levels go down, arrogance levels go down, people can enjoy each other's presence. I don't want you to leave. Well, let's enjoy it together, you know. It's fun. But otherwise, you know, I'm just more comfortable without anybody else around. We hope that the 12th Imam Jalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif helps us with this problem, along with the other problems, but this one thing that we can maybe focus on, from my understanding of the various. We have a hadith that says, I'll give you two hadith that is not in the context of the 12th Imam, but helping us understand why this kibr, this mutakabbirin, is such a big issue. We have a hadith that says, if anybody has even the smallest amount of kibr in their hearts, they're not going to be seeing paradise. God needs to burn it off before you can go. If we don't get rid of it ourselves in this life, God will burn it off in hell before we can go to paradise. There's no room for kibr in paradise. It'll just make everything ugly and filthy and nasty, as it has made this world. That's the problem. And then, those who have a lot of kibr, The Quran, the hadith says, there's another hadith, the second hadith. It says in hell there's an area called Saqar. That's basically where all the heat comes from. The source of the heat is Saqar. It says that wadi, that valley, that the valley of death, of heat, where when it wants to breathe, it just opens up to get some air, the rest of hell starts flaming. Okay, that's where the mutakabbirin are going to be. This is how horrible this trait is, and we hope that the 12th Imam helps us get rid of this, inshallah. And we beg him and ask him on this night. We don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in our fate for the following year, but we know that his representative on earth is the 12th Imam, and the Shafi'ah that we have is the 12th Imam. And the Shafi'ah that we have is Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. There's a relationship with Fatima al-Zahra. We've discussed this before a couple of times. A lot of tawassul to the lady Fatima al-Zahra. Inshallah, by the right of Fatima al-Zahra and the 12th Imam, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us, train us to be of those companions, close companions of the 12th Imam, the purified souls that the 12th Imam, inshallah, is going to use as his soldiers, commanders, leading the world to a beautiful Jannah on earth, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us be his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping Islam, his cause, especially those putting their lives on the line. In Yemen, in Syria, in Iraq, in Bahrain, in Palestine, and wherever else there's believers that are defending Islam and Islamic ideals and the goals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set, and they're doing jihad fi sabilillah. Ya Allah, protect them all, help them, grant them victory. Especially our ulama, our maraja. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect their hearts and their minds from shayateen that would love to mislead a marja, an alim, because if they mislead a marja or an alim, then potentially thousands or millions of people will be misled. They're under attack directly and constantly and continuously by shayateen of ins and jinn. Ya Allah, protect all of our maraja, especially from these shayateen, but also physically from any harm that, again, the shayateen want to get rid of them as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to especially protect our leader who was attacked most of all, more than anyone else, any of the other maraja. He is attacked most. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him most because of that. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, all the marhumin of the believers here, and all believers worldwide. We should pray for them. All those that we have lost as a community, especially during this pandemic, Sister Anna, Brother Zeki's mother, and others that I'm not perhaps aware of their names, maybe they weren't as close to myself, and anyone else that we've lost in the community. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all believers worldwide their hajat, their needs, to relieve all the people of the world of this pandemic sooner rather than later, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih, rahimallah, man qara al-fatihata ma'as salawat.